All right. Google says we are live, so we must be live. Doc, thanks, my friend, for joining us on the December 2018 Mastermind Q&A. How are things going for you?
Buddy, really, really good. last week, I was teaching in Puerto Vallarta, and you teach for half a day and then swim in an 80-degree ocean the second half. Oh. Does not suck. I'm just saying, you know, if you think it's bad, it's the exact opposite. It was really fun.
Oh, my goodness. How many days were you there?
5 days.
5 days and teaching and then snorkeling, yeah?
Yep. Teaching, swimming, playing. Oh, God, it was wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. There's something about that nice warm weather during our frigid cold winters here in California, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's funny. Well, I think we have a bunch of questions. So let me go and go into the chat room and make sure no one is there first that has a question. And so we can look through some of those. Guys, we're now live. So if you refresh this page inside our community, you should be able to see us. So let us know if you can see us and hear us and all that good stuff. And if you can, it would be most ideal if you could put your questions in all caps. That way I can make sure to see your questions. All right, let's see. Let me scroll through here and see if there's any good ones here to start out with. Looks like Rod and Justine are here. They're great. Dr. A.S. is here. Cool. Shelley from Australia is here. Adele. I was just helping Adele and going back and forth with her in the chat rooms last night. Anne Ray, Marm10, Pixie, Namaste, Beck from Ohio. This is great. All right, so guys, if you have any questions, this is your sort of opportunity to ask Dr. Bergman a question. Like you guys know, he's booked up, and it's really challenging for him to have free time. So here he is with all of us. So if you have any questions, make sure to ask them in all caps, and that would be great. And so, Doc, let's just start out with the first question that came in on email, and that's about inflammation, joints, and a tumor. And it's from Amy, and she says, what else besides medical CBD oil, which she's been using for 2 years, three times a day, for the pain and not for swelling? She says she also uses lemon ginger, 16 to 32 ounces daily, turmeric milk powder, and then white willow, which is great, advanced biocurcumin, AM and PM. What else for the inflammation of joints? And so she says here, I'm very active. I'm also taking charcoal twice a daily, glutathione daily. How do you reduce benign tumors in the breast? So that's sort of a different question. Maybe we can get to that. So thank you so much. And yeah, if you have any thoughts on that, Doc.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, you got to figure inflammation is how the body heals. So that means that there's tissue damage. So fixing the tissue damage is ideal. Now, the benign tumors, it depends on which breast, believe it or not, on the solution, because all of this has to do with the body not being able to heal. So the tumors are going to be involved in this. And swelling also, that's part of that inflammatory process. So taking the antioxidants is good, the lemon, ginger, turmeric, all of those things are antioxidants, but it doesn't address the underlying cause that there's tissue damage that isn't being repaired. Now, if you have, we're going to use the breast lumps and the benign tumors to guide us on what areas to fix quickly. If it's the left, upper left quadrant, which lymph of the gut drains the upper left quadrant. So if we're looking at benign tumors on the left, we know there might be a leaky gut. There could be an autonomic imbalance. Since there's pain, we have that automatic nervous system. One part keeps you alive under stress. That's the sympathetics. And that's going to be activated if there's a lot of tissue damage or inflammation. You got physical, chemical, emotional stress that'll keep that up. And that'll eliminate healing or decrease healing. The parasympathetic, which is the rest, digest, and repair, has to be initiated. Now, if it's so, when we're looking at left breast, look at gut function. So that means we have to get the nervous system checked. We make sure that you're not in that fight or flight state. Look at deep sleep properties. Make sure that you're doing the sleep restrictive therapy so you can get the deep sleep every night. You're doing neurolinguistic programming or emotional freedom technique, the tapping, so you can deal effectively with the physical, chemical, and emotional stress. If it's on the right side, look at amalgam fillings, root canals, dental stuff, and also pulmonary stuff or lung stuff. She may have been exposed to like an industrial area or certain pathogens in the past that are negatively affecting a chronic low-grade lung infection or chronic low-grade dental infection. And typically it's going to be on the same side. So look at the dental health. If you have root canals, they got to come out. And by a doctor with Huggins Protocol, one of the best ones in the world is in Tijuana, American Biodental. So the clinic director, his whole family is my patient. And I send my whole team down there. So, and he's the guy who I'm going to be partnering up with to develop the clinic in Mexico. Nice. For neurologic problems. The antioxidants aren't going to be as effective in solving joint pain. What you need to look at is all joints, okay, are two bones coming together surrounded by a joint capsule. So the health of the blood, juicing and blending will help. But you got to make sure that you have blood supply and nerve supply to it. So upper extremity problems, shoulder, elbow, and wrist, look at the health of the neck. Okay, make sure you got a good cervical curve, and that'll be identified on structural x-rays. If you have lower extremity pain, you know, the legs, feet, hips, look at an unstable pelvis, so pelvic stability, and look at possibly disc injuries. You can look at our videos on how to correct disc problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Doc, also, we've had people on our show talk about, like, the left and right side of the body. It's pretty interesting when they talk about, like, you know, there's a guy on our show, Adam Bergstrom, who talks about the front of the body and the back of the body, and then each of those are sort of polar opposite to each other with regards to, like, the front left part of the body is usually male in its sort of spiritual components there. And then the front right is usually female. And then on the back, it's opposite. And so I'm wondering if there might be some spiritual, emotional stuff that you were talking about with the DeMartini method and, you know, some places she could go there as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And these, the swelling, inflammation, and pain are not the issue to be treated. Mm-hmm. Why they're there is.
I see. Yeah, totally, totally makes sense. Get to the root cause of all this stuff. Okay, so guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to primarily favor you awesome people in the chat room because you have taken time out of your day to be here. And so as soon as we run through all the questions in the chat room, then we'll go back to the questions that come in via email. So Adele has a question, and we're going back and forth, like I said last night in the forums. And she said, I have a thyroid nodules and have been on Armour Thyroid for 25 years. I have been seeing a naturopathic doctor for several months. In June, my TSH was 0.025 T4. The total was 4.3. Everything else was normal. In my November, the TSH was 0.365 and total 3.2. And then she says free testosterone is 2.1. And then she says here, I just started taking Lugol's iodine, two drops. See, where is this? Two drops to start of 2%. I am on my own, just me and Dr. David Brownstein's book. That's great. Trying to find someone to give me iodine loading test. Until then, is this a bad idea? Like, why is it even lower after taking some thyroid stimulating? I see. Okay, so she's curious about why it's gone down when she's increased her iodine on her body.
Yeah, well, when you look at it, it's not a thyroid problem. It's a thyroid symptom. And so with the nodules, that means that there's been some type of toxic exposure that you've been surrounded with. And there's a tremendous amount of endocrine disruptors. And these are things that mimic hormones. And if it's mimicking the thyroid hormone or things that the thyroid utilizes, like bromine in bread, chloride in the water, fluoride in the water and toothpaste, those all are all halides and they mimic iodine. So when you're getting it in there, don't look at high function or low function because you're putting a substance that you're probably deficient at, the iodine. And so you've got a balance between the thyroid and adrenal glands. So there's not just the thyroid that utilizes iodine. A number of different chemical processes utilize that. So you may have given your body the correct substance. So now the adrenal glands, which are the pharmacy of the body that produce every glucocorticosteroid, mineralocorticosteroid, and sex hormone, now that those adrenals are firing off, the thyroid will appear lower. So don't worry about the change in blood test on an immediate basis. Your body has to heal. And also, using moist heat on the nodules, you'll start to see them go away because you're increasing blood flow. So look at the sleep patterns. Make sure you're getting deep sleep. Make sure that you're, you know, look at the physical stressors that you got. Look at the chemical stressors. Make sure anything you put on your skin, okay, you could eat. So that means makeup, sunblock, you know, bug spray, all of the stuff that can, that we know are endocrine disruptors that can disrupt the appropriate thyroid function mm-hmm. that are there. Keep doing the Lugos or the iodine solution. That'll be ideal. And look at the stressors, get the appropriate supplements, and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doc, something I was just researching lately that I thought was really interesting was the connection between the thyroid and, I guess the thyroid is such a complex little organ. It does so many different things. And it's, this paper I was reading recently was talking about the connection between the thyroid and the pineal gland. And they were talking exactly about what you were just saying with fluoride, which calcifies the pineal gland. And when the pineal gland isn't working correctly, it affects every other gland in the body. And when it affects the thyroid itself affects all these different downstream organs and glands as well. And so you can have something is like a thyroid issue, but ultimately this person was saying that it goes above that to the pineal gland, which goes back to what you were just saying with the fluoride and these other halogens that we're exposed to, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because that pineal gland, I mean, you figure, is super important. I mean, like vitally important. You can clear that with sun gazing and there's a bunch of other things. But look at all the subsystems, okay? Mm-hmm. Look at the nervous system that communicates through the hypothalamus to the pituitary to get that TSH working. And the hypothalamus is kind of like it's two things. You got an electrical system that communicates up to the brain. That's the nervous system. And the electrical system sends signals from the brain down to control the body. You got the endocrine system that is the chemical communicators. And that's where the adrenals, thyroids, you know, all the pancreas, everything else. Endocrine disruptors mimic that chemical communication.
Wow.
And we do a whole talk on endocrine disruptors. The hypothalamus is the cool guy. Mm-hmm. He's got one foot in the electrical system, one foot in the endocrine system. So if the connection is clear in that communication pathway from the body to the brain and the brain down to the body, then your body is functioning correctly. Right now, there's a communication issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been from nutrient deficiency, so it could have just been long-term iodine deficiency. If you've already had your nervous system checked by a corrective chiropractor, you're getting deep sleep, you got a plant-based organic diet, you do prayer and meditation every day. If you got all of those things working, and you still have this issue, then it's going to be a toxic exposure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff. Oh, one final thing. I would just recommend people to block blue light from their thyroid as well, from your smartphones and stuff like that, just to add to all this kind of different ways of healing your thyroid.
Brilliant.
Yeah, super important. Okay, so let's see here. Guest 7557 wants to know, what can be done about sarcoidosis, I guess inflammation of the lymph nodes or different areas of the body?
Yeah, sarcoidosis, when you look at it, lymph is the sewer system of the body. And so it doesn't have a flow. You've got the heart that pumps the blood, but lymph literally flows through the system. And lymph nodules or lymph nodes are little anti-cancer factories. They actually, you know, are amazing. So when you start to get inflammation or lymph problems, look at the chemical stressors, the physical stressors, and the emotional stressors that are causing it. But there may be a leaky gut. There may be like some antibiotic use in the past, like 4 or 5 years. There could have been some type of toxic exposure that's getting the body toxic. So all the stuff that you can do to increase lymph flow, like an infrared sauna, like lymph massages, gentle movements and exercises will help the lymph. Inversion tables, as long as you're not taking any medications whatsoever, that'll help. And getting appropriate movement of the spine and joints, that'll help. But there's so many ways to look at to clean out the lymph system. And you got to figure your body rebuilds all the red blood cells in 120 days. And the lymph is kind of like an exudate of that blood system. Mm-hmm. And so this way you clean the blood, and that's going to clean the lymph system.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Doc, we had a guy on our show recently, Dr. Darren Schmidt, and he was talking about lactic acidosis. And he was connecting that to like over 150 different disease processes, which is what he was describing is basically dirty blood. And there's a series of B vitamins that he recommends for people to take if they have this sort of dirty blood. And I wonder if in this case, that might be something to consider.
Absolutely. And I figure most B vitamins are produced by the bacteria in the gut. So underlying, you're looking at poor gut flora, poor gut function, and then that'll make a difference mm-hmm. as well. And then if this has been going on for a long time, the arteries might not be healthy. Wow. And there's a way to clean the arteries that Linus Pauling, the guy that invented vitamin C, two Nobel Prizes, really sharp guy. talking about 10 grams of vitamin C a day and 2 grams of L-lysine a day for about 30 days.
Oh.
And that reverses atherosclerotic plaquing.
So 10 grams of vitamin C. So I think I take 1,000 milligrams in one clip. So that would be 10 of those 1,000 milligrams would be 10 grams, right?
Yeah. And then if your body's in a stressed state, like this person, they may need to get that Vitality C with ribose because that's a powdered form.
Okay.
They might not be able to break down the pills. And, that'll knock it out.
It's interesting. It was kind of funny. We had a medical doctor on a while back, and he was talking about the lymphatic system, like you were just saying. And, he was kind of laughing about the fact that they were never taught about the lymphatic system and the lymphatic drainage and what it is and how it operates and all that. And he was saying there's three times as much lymphatic fluid in your body as there is blood, yet they don't learn anything about it. And he was talking about rebounding as being one of those things to help cleanse the lymphatic system, but they're not taught any of this stuff in medical school. It's crazy.
Yeah, I had a cardiologist listening to our heart lecture and cholesterol lecture,
uh-huh.
and he was so pissed off at the end at his education. He said, look, we're taught the sympathetic, parasympathetic. We're taught the heart has two nerve supplies. We're taught the parasympathetic's here, the sympathetic's here. And then that's it.
Wow.
Nobody talks about it again. And then they talk about the drugs, how that can alter that nerve supply and the heart function. Wow. And he just felt like he got ripped off.
I'm sure if they wake up, they all feel like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's see here, kind of making our way through these questions. Dr. As, A-S, says, adult allergic bronchial asthma, can anyone get rid of it or stuck with preventative inhalers forever? So adult allergic bronchial asthma.
Absolutely, you can knock it out. Okay, look at asthma as not a problem of the lungs. Okay, it's a problem of the smooth muscle control of the lungs. So now anyone with asthma, they have 10 times the amount of mucus in their lungs as somebody who doesn't have asthma. Now the lungs have this lubricant called surfactant, which is, again, a superfiltrate of blood. And if your body is hydrated, okay, you produce more surfactant. So look at hydration, nutrients, all of that. Allergic, though, an allergy is an abnormal recognition of a foreign protein. So, like, if you take a big handful of vacuum cleaner dust and you go breathe it in, okay, you're going to be coughing, sneezing because of the particulate matter, and that's a normal response. But if you're sitting there and you have one bit of pollen that touches your nose and everything, nose red, eyes water, that's an abnormal recognition. So all allergies are a clue that some type of foreign protein has gotten into an area it shouldn't be. Then the body has mounted a response to that. And so this means if he's allergic to flowers, cat hair, dander, dust, whatever, okay, and then that triggers that reaction, and then he's got to take the inhaler. We got to look at a leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, leaky gut's going to be possibly underlying. And leaky gut also, that'll prevent absorption of the nutrients if he's taking that organic plant-based diet, doing the juicing, the blending, the smoothies, all of the stuff to get the blood healthy. You got to heal the gut. And that could be as simple as doing the hot water trick in the morning, where you get around 20 ounces of water hot, almost as hot as tea, and you got to drink that whole thing down in a minute. So it can't be too hot. You don't want to burn yourself, but you drink that sucker down in the space of a minute. Then you put your elbows on a kitchen counter, stand away from the counter so the tummy's hanging in the air. Then you force your stomach out and force it in over about 3 to 4 minutes. This is going to start to heal a leaky gut, because when you're putting heat on tissue and you take that tissue away, it's red because the brain senses that difference in temperature and rushes blood to the area. Also, it's going to help hydrate the system. And since the body's in a stress state, and that's what causes that, you know, that stress response of, holy moly, we got the chemical stress of an allergic response, but also anxiety can trigger certain asthma responses. Okay, physical stress can do it, like stress-induced. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at three different stressors that can be initiating that asthma response.
Mm-hmm.
So by forcing that water through the intestinal tract, it'll rush blood to the intestinal tract, healing the intestinal tract, but also stimulating the organs. Mm-hmm. There's called a viscerosomatic relationship, where you stimulate the organ tissue, it has parasympathetic effect on the body. This is why, like, when you eat and you're digesting, you just, like, are in this mellow mood, because you're in a parasympathetic state, and that's where tissue is repaired. So that water trick in the morning is a great idea to start, and look for the physical, chemical, emotional stress, and you're going to be able to knock it out. But also look at the nerves that supply the diaphragm, which is out of the base of the neck. Look at the top of the neck for pressure on the cardiac and respiratory center, because you may have problems in the upper neck, upper thoracic area that are causing that diaphragm to not function correctly, or the bronchodilation and constriction can also be negatively affected.
And Doc, what do you think is the main cause of all of this? It's from the research I've done, it seems like, 90% of allergies would have never existed if it weren't for flu shots and vaccines and stuff like that. It seems like there's a huge connection there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you figure how many people are going to those herds in Africa with Kleenexes.
Right.
Okay, you don't have a lot of zebras with skin disorders or
eczema.
Yeah, or eczema, yeah, or holy moly, you know, we got these caribou up, you know, that just can't eat grass anymore.
Crazy.
They have a leaky gut, bowel disorder, you know, we're an animal species in captivity. Okay, if you look at zoo animals, what kind of diseases do they have? They have our diseases, because when they get a shitty diet, we try and treat their symptoms with medications instead of looking at their stress level, which is through the roof. Okay, so we are a captive animal species developing all the symptoms of a captive animal species. And to turn that around, you got to live closer to the whole world. Mm-hmm. You got to pay attention to the pineal gland.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to clean that sucker out. You got to do the saunas. You got to do the movement. And you got to realize that we're in a very stressful, toxic environment. And you deal with this not just for symptoms, but just to get your body back to health.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are interested, that water trick that Dr. Bergman was just describing, there's a video on that. And one of the challenges that we did, you did a whole thing on the water trick. So if you guys want to check that out. And also, we had a recent clip. It was sort of a little clip from our radio show with Dr. Donnie Wilson. And she shared a bunch of different healing things that you can do for a leaky gut situation, you know, different herbs and different substances you can take. I think she described or said something like 12 to 15 different things you can take for leaky gut. But it seems to me, Doc, that, you know, like, it makes sense there's a connection between the gut and asthma, because the vaccines damage the gut, and then you get a leaky gut, you get an inflammatory response in the body, and then, the lungs fill up with fluid. It just seems like it makes so much sense.
It does. And also, look at coffee or caffeine. Okay, that can help lung issues. Heat will rush blood to the lung tissue, so you could start putting heat on the front and back of the lung area to start to rush to heal long-term damage. Because if this has been going on for years, there's going to be some tissue that's not that healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hiking with this one kid a few years ago, and we're getting him adjusted, but he had been doing steroids most of his life for asthma.
Oh.
And he was having an attack, so I got a eucalyptus leaf, which is antimicrobial and antifungal. I ground it up on my hands, and I said, okay, breathe in. and he breathed in, okay, and it had a calming effect, because certain essential oils can have an anti-inflammatory property, and he had that response in his lungs where it was reacting to some type of environmental stimulus, but the eucalyptus oil actually knocked it out.
Wow, that's crazy. So crazy, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, his mom thought I was a genius.
John of God.
You got the medicine right there on the ground, you know?
It was right in front of you guys.
The forest is our pharmacy.
That's so funny. Yeah, for further information, Doc, I know you've got some videos on your YouTube channel. I did one on lungs as well, a bunch of different things you could do for your lungs. And Doc, I know you have. So if you type in John Bergman into Google and do lungs or asthma, and then there's a video that I did on lungs as well on ours. So if you guys want to learn more about that. Let's see. Judy says here, I want to make sure I don't miss any of these questions. So we did the sarcoidosis. We did the asthma. Okay, next one up is Judy. She says, hi, I've already asked my question on some other page. Not sure where it is supposed to be typed, but now I'm trying this through Facebook. Okay, so her question is, I sometimes get a spontaneous feeling down my left arm or left leg that feels like I hit my funny bone. Nothing else, just that. It comes and goes very quickly. Sometimes it's actually hard to tell exactly where the feeling is. My chiropractor thinks it's coming from my neck, but his adjustments haven't had any effect yet. Thank you, Judy B.
Okay, cool. He's got to look at, some chiropractors don't utilize x-rays. And so his technique of correction has to be directed by x-rays. So if he has any questions, email me and I'll tell him what x-rays to take.
Okay.
Of course, if he has to be told what x-rays to take, you might want to find another chiropractor.
That's a little hint, right?
But when you look at it, I'm in total agreement it's coming from the neck for sure. Your forearm has a muscle balance. It should be a 5-4 strength ratio, where the flexors, the muscles that close the hand, should be a little bit stronger than the other muscles. Now, what happens is you're describing the funny bone, and that's the ulnar nerve that comes out of the base of the neck, but it also zips around here next to the ulnar. And hence, ulnar nerve. Now, if you have a muscle imbalance there, that's going to kick this ulnar bone over on the inside, putting compression of those nerves. So you'll see on our carpal tunnel video a rubber band exercise where you have a rubber band going around, and you go from flower bud to claw, flower bud to claw. Mm-hmm. And that will strengthen the extensors, and then that will kick that ulnar over. And if he has any questions on extremity adjusting, you probably have a medially displaced ulnar. And there's a couple of techniques to correct it. But if he doesn't know how to adjust extremities, just have him look it up online, and it's really simple. Okay. So do the rubber band exercise, get the neck fixed, and reposition that ulnar.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Shelly from all the way down in Australia, my second home. She says, this is great. I love Shelly. She says she's having trouble. I'm not sure exactly, Shelly, exactly what you mean here, but doctor might know. Having trouble bursting my wrist, bursal cyst. Any more hints? And then she says, and I don't have a big Bible. Didn't you make a joke about that last time?
Yeah. Well, that's actually...
That's right.
There was a nurse called Travell who wrote the book on trigger points.
Okay.
And this gal did research back in the 40s. Just brilliant, brilliant books.
Wow. Yeah.
She's talking about the dermoid cyst, okay? And okay. That forms from an old trauma. And what you do is you go in there and burst it. Okay, you put pressure on it, and it's like popping a zit underneath the skin. What you can do, because a lot of times it might be over a soft tissue area where there's not a hard substance or structure underneath that you can get a back pressure. So it's kind of like pushing a balloon inside of a pillow. You know, you can, there's nothing there to pop it. Okay. So, you can put heat on it, try and move the cyst around to a harder part. Okay. And apply direct pressure. Just think of popping a zit. Putting heat on it first may fill it up with more fluid, which is what you want. Because think of a balloon with a little bit of air. You start pushing that down, and the air goes over to one side, then the air goes over to the other side, and you can't really pop it. But you fill that cyst up with a shitload of fluid, uh-huh. Then you're able to apply pressure and pop it. Just have somebody who loves you dearly go in there and...
Wow, Doc, I'm looking at some of those things, a bursal cyst on Google Images, and some of these things are pretty frightening looking.
Oh, yeah, and it is such a trip to go in there. People say, yeah, I had it removed 3 times, and it still keeps coming back. And I say, okay, let me have your wrist.
Wow.
It blows up. Like, where'd it go?
It's gone. Yeah, but so, Doc, I'm thinking about different things like, topical things, maybe doing like gua sha or maybe like cleansing the lymphatic system or maybe putting like DMSO and magnesium, some topical things. But obviously the body's putting some sort of chemical there. Is that like a repository, you think, for toxins in our environment or something?
Not usually. Usually it's a direct result of a trauma.
Okay.
And it's...
Interesting.
Yeah. So that trauma is to protect it. It's like I have one right here on my hand, but this one's a fibrous dermoid cyst.
Interesting.
And that was from, I was working a jackhammer for, I think it was about a month and a half solid, but it was a jackhammer going through the side of a wall. Okay. And so, it would form, but this is just a fibrous one, so I can't pop that.
Wow.
And I don't want to get it cut out
because
I just don't like knives.
Call me strange, but I don't like knives.
Yeah. So, under consistent trauma like that of a jackhammer for a month and a half, you're going to develop certain responses, like a callus in an area that isn't a joint.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay, cool. So hopefully that helps you, Shelley. I let me know if that doesn't help in the forums, and I can definitely, help out further and, find some more solutions for you. Guest 2692 says, I've had fluid trapped behind my left ear for about a year. No pain, but it muffles the hearing and can occasionally there are loud popping sounds. What can be done? Thank you.
Oh, totally cool. Okay, good. What the loud popping sounds are is the middle ear is filling up with fluid. The middle ear drains through the eustachian tube. Eustachian tube goes through the soft palate in the back of the throat. And that soft palate is innervated by the second cervical nerve, or a nerve that zips around the top up there. And so you're going to have to get your upper cervical neck checked and corrected, the lower cervical neck, get the curve restored, so that'll take the pressure off. Or we can do a quick thing that you could do on an airplane, okay? And this is going to be weird. But if you grab not the soft part of the ear, the cartilage back here, and if you pull that just to the side, you're actually moving part of the soft palate where the eustachian tube is. Now, we'll do an adjustment where we just grab it and pull, but to grab this and pull it straight out, so you're going straight out in that direction, not back or not forward and not up, because you can actually rip the ear off if you're like wrestling somebody. Mm-hmm. So you grab hold of it, grab it with the other arm, and then you pull straight out, and you'll hear a pop. Okay, and that pop is you releasing the pressure off the eustachian tube and it draining. But ultimately, it's a problem with the upper neck and the nerve supply to the soft palate.
Okay. Good. Okay, so here's an interesting question, Doc, because I know you and I are really after, the root cause and lifestyle and things like that, is as far as fixing those foundational issues, and then the rest of our health sort of gets better as a result of that. But this is kind of a different question, because this person here says, guest 351 says her 87-year-old mom has a growth on her pituitary gland and fibromyalgia. So she says here she was a truck driver for 35 years. And so now it sounds to me like at 87, I'm not sure how much you can really want to do or focus on the foundational health issues. So she says here, what are one or two simple things she can do just to feel better?
Oh, totally cool. Okay. The list of medications that she's more than likely on are contributing to the problem.
Okay.
So have her look at it, because standard 87-year-old drugs are going to be blood pressure, cholesterol, anti-inflammatory, gabapentin for like nerve issues, and a trucker for 30-some years. Uh-huh. You got to know. Luckily, she was a trucker back before the GMOs, so that's a you know, she probably stopped driving when she was like 70. So that'll be, that's the only thing that saved her.
Right.
But the pituitary issue, that's located right in the center of the brain. And this is going to sound weird. She may have had chronic sinusitis. She may have had antibiotic use. And all of that can put pressure on that nerve. Now, the pituitary, you can actually get to by going up through the nose. There's just a little thin film of bone there. And that's where they do pituitary operations. But look at endocrine disruptors that she's been exposed to. And look at our whole hormone series. We've got, I mean, a bunch on there. So the shampoo she's using. She may be old school and eating the same stuff that she ate back when she was a kid. You know, like you know, my bologna used to have a first and a second name.
Right, right.
Okay. You know, and back then they didn't have bovine growth hormones. They didn't give it antibiotics. They were basically somewhat healthier animals.
Okay.
Okay. So look at her diet, which is going to be loaded with endocrine disruptors. And her blood is still going to be cleaned. Look at the high blood pressure medication or video to get her off of the medications. Look at the cholesterol drug to get her off of the drugs. And treat her like she's, you know, 20 years old. You know, get her on the juicing, the blending, the organic, and her body will regenerate.
I like that, Doc, because it's like, you know, something that a lot of people don't think about. It's just, you know, instead of starting to fix all of the positive things, I mean, the juicing, the blending and all this kind of stuff, but maybe sometimes just getting off the medication to start with can have a bigger effect than staying on the medication and doing juicing and blending. But if you do both, I mean, you could start to see really quick headway, I think.
Buddy, that is like, I do not want to work back at 6 days a week again, because I've worked 6 days a week for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And the main reason is in Mexico, I could get people off of drugs the first day.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a huge difference. So within 2 weeks of juicing, blending, no medications, getting their nervous system working right, teaching them how to deep sleep, teaching them how to reprogram the brain, getting them on infrared therapies, hyperbaric chambers, bam!
That's a lot, right?
I know. That's where it's worth effort to have like a miracle clinic. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's going
to
be so cool. I can't wait till it's going. Judy says, sorry, I forgot to use all caps. That's okay, Judy. No worries. I'm still making my way.
Don't let it happen again.
Yeah. No more non-caps. Guest 2507 says, are there exercises to reverse or prevent facial jowls and turkey neck?
Oh, yeah, actually.
Interesting, yeah.
Juicing and blending, believe it or not, helps with tissue integrity. The reason that jowls or wrinkles form is because the body is under stress. You can't produce enough stomach acid, and so your ability to break the proteins to amino acids is diminished. And so getting plant-based protein would be helpful, but you look at the physical, chemical, and emotional stressors, and you can get that working right. Now, there was a boxer in – okay, this is why if there's ever a Trivia Pursuit, please, who's ever out there, have me on your team. John L. Sullivan was a boxer where they would go 100 rounds bare knuckle, and he was you couldn't beat the guy. But what he would do is he would chew pine tar to strengthen his masseter muscles. Okay,
interesting. Yeah,
and his jaw. I mean, people would break their hands on his jaw. So working the muscles, getting everything working correctly, and restoring the nerve supply to that area, because if your head's forward like this, you're compromising the nerve supply to it, and that makes the tissue not healthy. So juicing, blending, and if you want to do some barrel knuckle boxing like John L. Sullivan, chew some pine tar.
There you go. Yeah, I know. I know online there's a lot of people that have those, you know, different devices that you can actually put underneath your chin, and it's kind of like a reverse sit up in a way, and that strengthens the muscles underneath there. And I remember, you remember Jack LaLanne used to have a bunch of facial exercises he would do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Okay, so Pixies here says, Pixie Namaste. I like that. So she's currently in permanent atrial fibrillation, 20 months now. wow, almost 2 years. I have rejected UK hospital suggestions for cardioversion with accompanying drugs. I'm aware of Dr. Bergman's lecture, Missed Causes of Atrial Fibrillation. So she may have seen that. I now see osteopath weekly and feel next stage is get x-rays, but I don't know what position or type of x-rays. Can you advise what positions or x-rays, please?
Like x-rays immediately, not next stage. That's the first thing. Yeah. Atrial fib has to do with the nerves that supply the heart. See, in crazy stupid world, we look at the heart as its own little entity. So now we're going to blast it with electricity to hopefully we can reset it. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole little electrical system in there. There's a sinoatrial node, which is the pacemaker of the heart. And these idiot cardiologists are thinking, wow, that SA node, even though it worked for half a century, okay, there's just something wrong with it. Okay, now let's look at the big picture. What controls the SA node, which is the sinoatrial node, the pacemaker of the heart? What controls that? You got two controls. Parasympathetic, which is coming out of here. Sympathetic, which is coming out of the top of the thoracic area. Cardiac arrhythmias are from altered nerve supply to the heart. You got to get an x-ray and clear that. 100% of atrial fibs are going to go away. If there's neurotoxins, okay, that you're exposed to, that won't affect it. But you are going to clearly see subluxation patterns in the top of the thoracic area, T1 through T4, which is the sympathetic nerve supply to the heart, and the base of the skull there also. And here's the challenge. Osteopaths are not taught to look at a deviation on an x-ray, like loss of curve or anything else, that's going to be effective. Several medical doctors, and I mean, this is over 22 years of practice, I've had patients from medical doctors that they send them to me, and they'll have loss of curve, forward head carriage buckling. I'll correct it. I'll show them the pre and post x-ray, which shows a radical difference, and they won't be able to see it.
Wow.
Because they're not taught that the natural curve in the neck, if it's lost, that can put pressure on the structures around it. So they're not taught that you can correct it, and they're not taught that loss of curve or subluxations are even a pathology.
Wow.
So when they take an x-ray, they're looking for tumor or pathologies or arthritic changes, but they're not going to look at structure. Mm-hmm. And understanding that structure equates to function. So you may need to find a corrective chiropractor. In England, there's a guy, Joe James Tilley, south of London. In London, there's Terry Kimes. And Terry is just, man, if you see him, just give him a hug from me and tell him I love him. The guy is, I went to a seminar a few months back with him, and he is just a giant walking heart.
Wow. That's cool. You know, it's interesting, Doc. We've had a number of different like natural cardiologists on the show, like Dr. Thomas Cowan, Dr. Steven Sinatra, Dr. Dwight Lundell, a bunch of these guys, and atrial fibrillation seems to be coming up a lot and with questions with people. And they were talking about the connection between, oddly enough, electromagnetic field radiation and 5G and all of this sort of bizarre electrical sort of stimulation that we're getting from just ambience, living in society. And they were saying it's screwing up our electrical systems. And much the same way you're talking about the nerves that supply the electricity to the heart, it's an electrical issue. And they were, you know, tying all this radiation and stuff into it that we're being exposed to. It's a crazy world we live in.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you want to take it through on, like, if you walk into a room and the lights are off, you know, you don't call the power company, you check the light switch.
Yeah.
Okay? And if the light switch doesn't work, then you check the breaker.
Right.
And if the breaker doesn't work, then you call the power company. Okay? So you do it in various stages.
Yeah.
I mean, the electromagnetic frequencies absolutely can be a contributing factor. Not a causative factor, because everybody is exposed to it and everybody isn't getting the atrial fib.
Exactly.
So what caused the system to be weakened before? And then you go back to the physical, chemical, emotional stress. But man, you look at the nerve supply that supplies that sucker, you're going to knock it out.
I love it. It's good. It seems like a lot of questions are coming up with atrial fibrillation. Okay, so let's move on to guest 6854. What infrared sauna do you recommend for home use? I saw one on in the Costco magazine. Is that good enough? Good question.
What What's the one that you ordered for me and Sarah? I'm looking at it right now. I would have to get up and go look at it, but you know more about it.
Yeah, it's called the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. It's actually built out of a medical university in Taiwan, and it's won a number of different awards for what it's able to do. And in my opinion, I mean, we've been using it for, I think, about 6-7 years now, almost daily. I would probably say on average 5 days a week over the last 6 years. And it uses far infrared technology, which penetrates much more deeply into the system than near infrared. Although near infrared is also really important as well. But for detoxification purposes, bringing that core body temperature up, like you talk about, Doc, I think 1 degree stimulates the immune system by like 40%. Is that right?
Yeah, it doubles the speed of the immune system for every 1 degree increase.
Wow. Yeah, it increases heat shock proteins. And so I mean, from my experience and talking to the owner or the sole distributor of that sauna and being friends with him for the past 6 years, I would probably not buy something from Costco, because you're going to want to not expose yourself to too much radiation. You don't know where these things are coming from or what guidelines and standards they're able to meet and all of that. So I'd recommend, something like the Relax Far Infrared Sauna, but there's a lot of other good ones too, right, Doc?
Yeah, well, I mean, just get it through Extreme Health Radio, you know, because you got it. You got your store there, right?
Got the store there. And if you want to support the work of both of us in the Academy, I think it's also available in the Academy here as well under recommended products. So,
hey, okay. So here's a contest for you. How long are you able to stay in it?
My record is 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Holy moly. Okay. I make 25 and I feel like I just won a marathon.
Yeah.
You the man.
it's such a great, but I think, in the summer, I think the least amount of time is probably like 10 or 15 minutes, during a heat wave. I can barely stay in there.
Okay. Yeah. I get 20 minutes. I should do it at least every week, but I do it around 2 times a month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great, you sweat right away, right? It's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay, hopefully that helped you out. Guest 854. Let's see. Petra is here. Petra Slow, great to have you here. What was the best improvement of joint arthritis in your experience? Have you some examples? My little Shetland pony had a bone fracture his left hind leg. After 4 operation, bone is now okay where it was broken, but there's very bad arthritis in all the joints in his leg. Are there any possibilities to improve that? What can I do for him? Any advices from human perspective? Thank you so much, and a big hug, Petra.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. So first off, and this is cool with the type of arthritis that he's experiencing. It's called degenerative joint disease, DJD. It's also called osteoarthritis. Now, here's the thing. Osteoarthritis, arth means joint, itis means inflammation. So arthritis means joint inflammation. The type of arthritis that he's suffering from and that the majority of people are, it's osteoarthritis, which you've got two bones coming together. If the cartilage or structure or the structure is unstable, the bone literally starts to distort to increase the surface area. And that's what we see on x-rays. We see that bony distortion. Now, there's a law called Wolf's Law, where bone is laid down where it's needed, and that's a distortion to increase the surface area, resorbed where it's not needed. Okay, so stabilize the joint, and what we would do with a human is I would put something to generate heat, like a neoprene knee support. Okay, let's just take the knee for an example, and that will generate heat, minimal support. And then you restore, get to an equine chiropractor, restore the nerve supply, because that horse has got an unstable pelvis. Knowing that it's had leg issues, the pelvis is going to be completely off. And we work on dogs, cats, sheep. I've adjusted a ferret. I did a prized chicken one time.
Oh,
yeah, so chiropractors pretty much are going to be able to assess the damage. So getting his lumbar adjusted and his pelvis stabilized will radically alter his gait and restore the nerve supply to it. Then you restore heat to it with a little bit minimal support. They got to have some type of like not the standard joint supports, but something with a little bit more substance, like the wetsuit material.
Okay.
And that'll generate heat, and you'll see that'll alter his gait. So equine chiropractor, know that arthritis can be reversed because it's not degenerative joint disease. It's actually a stabilization aspect of the body to create stability where there is instability.
Interesting. Hey, Doc, what do you think about, for horses and things? I know they use, like, DMSO is used.
Oh,
kind
brilliant.
Of yeah, wouldn't that be a good thing, too?
Oh, my God, great idea. Yeah, because that gets right into the joint.
Yeah.
And they use that on football players. Not that football players and horses have a similarity.
But just a little bit, maybe.
A little bit. But that DMSO is fantastic, and it dries whatever you put on the joint. So make sure you clean the fur, because if there's any nasty stuff on there, it'll drive it into the joint as well. And then look at all the things that you can put into the joint. I'd have to look up, they're a mammal too. So I'd have to look up, the nutrients that are involved in a joint in a horse.
Yeah.
An equine chiropractor would know.
I know they do a lot of studies too on pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, like high dose or high power, high frequency PEMF devices on horses too. I wonder if that could be added to the whole protocol.
Absolutely. We've even done magnets. Now, it'd be nice to get a unipolar magnet, but we've actually had people with busted joints, and we'll put a high powerful magnet on each side and tape it up there for several hours a day, because a negative magnetic field causes the cells, because you got a cell with a cell wall, and the cell wall has these channels, and if you can increase the permeability of that cell wall, it can take in nutrients, produce the proteins that it needs to produce, eliminate waste products. So you increase cell function, you're going to increase the health of that tissue in that area, and a negative electric field will help do that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of that quote from Tesla when he said, if you want to think in terms of healing, think in terms of frequency and vibration, right? It's interesting. Oh,
God, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's honest to God, the next step. I mean, instead, we get out of the stupid symptom drug therapy realm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to talk about the intention of the person that is making the supplement, your intention and focus of taking it. Okay, the intention of the energy of the therapist or the chiropractor or medical doctor, who's ever there working on you, man, if he's having a bad day, you get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, and then, oh my God, you're going to see miracles.
It's interesting because there's a quote from, I think it was Mike Tyson, and they're talking about how, remember how back in the day he used to have that mean uppercut, and it was like he would throw one uppercut and in the first round and his opponents would flop, right? In one of the interviews afterwards, he was, being asked about that, and he said that he throws every punch with mean intention. And it's so interesting, right? Like, what if we put intention on everything that we do and eat and before we eat and put intention to everything?
That radically different outcome.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it with purpose. You're a boat with a rudder, not just a cork floating in the ocean.
Yeah, sailing around. Yeah. Judy writes in again. This is cool. So she asked about the question. I think she had the pain going down her left leg. I think it started in her neck. We answered it a little bit ago, but she said, it's Judy again. Dr. B, I understand about the funny bone feeling, the ulnar you spoke of. But she asks here, why does it sometimes happen to her legs also?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be an unstable pelvis. She might also, like if she's looking at her foot, the big toe might start to be leaning off to the little toes.
Okay.
Kind of like beginning bunion formation. And that is definitive for an unstable pelvis, because that means the nerves are compromised. So getting an x-ray, not just of the neck area, but stress x-rays of the low back to identify any disc problems are going to be ideal.
Okay. Rod, I love you guys. Rod, you're in the UK, and it's awesome when you're here. So he says here, I get a lot of tooth sensitivity. I've tried activated charcoal, baking soda-based toothpastes, and non-baking soda products, but still get it. I use the Nadine Artemis protocol with her products, which is great, by the way. Her protocol or her products over at Living Libations are really great with her products. And he says, any suggestions for tooth sensitivity?
You know what? Tooth sensitivity. When you look at the tooth, you got the enamel on the outside, the dentin, blood supply, nerve supply on the inside. Enamel is permeable. Okay, so if you have hypersensitivity, it may mean that the enamel isn't working correctly, you know, where it has some barrier, or it's maybe not thick enough or something. So there's a couple of tricks. One, look at the upper neck area, because the nerves that supply that area are C1, C2 area. That's going to, so look at the nerves that supply it. Then you can prepare the enamel, okay, which means you take baking soda, brush your teeth with it, leave it on, don't rinse it. Then get some apple cider vinegar and rinse your mouth out with it. And then what you've got there is the volcano experiment that you made in grammar school. Mm-hmm. The vinegar is going to react with the baking soda and start to foam up, and it's going to break off a bunch of toxins. It can break up tartar, and it can free up that enamel, and then rinse with a little bit of water, then put some essential oil, peppermint oil, you know, cloves, something that'll pierce the enamel, and then you just coat your teeth with that. That'll get into the dentine and start having healthier function. And then that may help to regenerate the enamel.
You know, what's interesting, Doc, is we had a really interesting show recently with our biological dentist out there in Marble Falls, Texas, and he was talking about this. I'm always trying to put things together. So he was saying about the serum phosphorus level of the body, and if it's above 3.5, then what happens is instead of having nutrients coming into the tooth from the body, going in reverse. So what's happening is that now toxins and different things in your mouth are being sucked in, being pulled into the teeth instead of having the nutrients come from the body into the teeth from the inside. And he talked about this blood serum phosphorus level being above or below 3.5. And I'm wondering if what you're talking about, the connection between the nervous system somehow plays a role in that as well.
Oh, you know what also? God, that makes a lot of sense. If she has like old fillings, caps, root canals, all of that could be a subclinical infection that's not shown on a standard x-ray. And you need to look at a biologic dentist, you know, one that works with the Huggins protocol. Mm-hmm. And then because that would also increase sensitization.
Mm-hmm. And I've been doing oil pulling in the evening, like before I go to bed.
It's perfect. It's
great, right?
Oh, right now I'm thinking, damn it, why didn't I think of that? Because that is ideal, because you're drawing the toxins out. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great, because for a long time I've known about the benefits of oil pulling, but it's really challenging to do because you have to sort of be silent for 15, 20 minutes. But what I've been doing is when I go to bed at night, I'll take a shower and I'll get my water ready for the next day kind of a thing and set some things up. And so I'll just put the oil in my mouth for the, you know, I'll take a shower and then for 15, 20 minutes there. And then I rinse with baking soda, and that seems to be helping quite a bit.
That makes so much sense. And because that's going to draw out the toxins, make sure, and this is super, super important, spit the oil in the trash can, not in the sink.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got two friends that I had to crawl underneath their sink to clean out this gunk. Because it congeals inside of the sink and stops up the drain.
Yeah, I know. That's a big deal when it comes to that.
Yeah, be nice to the men in your lives who are going to crawl underneath the sink. Spit that sucker in the trash can.
Yeah, that's great. Cher says, do you ever make group trips to Baja for members who want to have dental work done? That's a good question.
Oh, yeah, all the time. I just took about a month ago one of our office staff and my sweetheart down to Mexico.
Oh, cool. So yeah. Do you go maybe like once or twice a year kind of thing?
Pretty soon I'm going to be going every week.
I know, right?
but what's neat about American Biodental is when you're going on the freeway coming down right up next to the border, the last U.S. exit, you right when you get off of the exit off the freeway, there's a mm-hmm. big parking lot right there. That's what you pull into, and they pick you right up from there. They drive you across the border, drive you back, and let you off right there.
Wow, so that's cool.
It can't be easier. You hardly have to turn a corner or anything.
Wow.
And nobody has to worry about the massive amount of people and the border closing and all of the day after they had tear gas over there, which I really think was more of a stunt, you uh-huh. know, like a drama thing. They typically close the border for about 2 hours at least, you know, once a week to once a month. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Tijuana, because there's a huge flow of people coming back and forth, on the cell phone, they have the status of the border. And you literally look at it, say, well, it's a 2 hour wait in this line. It's a 1 hour wait in that line. Okay. There was no interruption.
You know? Wow.
If they close the border, it's on their cell phone app.
That's so cool.
And they just go out, you know, have a nice lunch, you know, maybe work out, read a book. And then when it's clear, then they drive across.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Marm 10 says, hey, do you guys know anything about Slim Sperling? I found him on YouTube. He's made tensor rings, coils, etc. So I'm somewhat familiar with him. But he says, what is your feeling about his work? It's all new to me. He has now passed, but he said he approached Al Gore at one point about on the technology, but was turned down.
Oh, I don't know anything about him. What was he?
Yeah, he was a guy who worked a lot with like light and technology, frequency and vibration. Really kind of prolific, kind of old timer kind of guy. Created some products about, you know, regarding, you know, Tesla coils and energy and frequency and stuff like that. But I didn't know that he passed. So that's about all I know. What are your thoughts about that kind of idea, Doc?
Oh God, you're talking about perpetual energy machines.
Yep.
And that is such a cool technology where you're working with, just know that not only is it possible, it's provable. And the more we develop those technologies, the more we're going to separate. It's really a challenge to have those technologies accepted, particularly in our environment today.
Mm-hmm.
The largest oil producer in the world is America now. Okay, we beat Saudi Arabia, we beat everybody. Okay, so it's hard to have an industry that's that big on something that can that's not really going to be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
So that technology will not be good for the economy short term, but it's better for the planet long term.
Mm-hmm.
So any investment in that makes a hell of a lot of sense. And it not only is it possible, multiple people have done it. And even before Michael developed this project in Poland, we were starting to work on the coils that would generate consistent energy.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. Pretty, pretty awesome. Anthony Chillis is here. Awesome to have you here, Anthony. This is great. So, Doc, he's got a question here about vitamin D3 and K2. I've come into some recent research lately that I've been sort of rethinking my ideas about vitamin D3, taking it exogenously instead of getting it from the sun. And I don't know, you know, if that's true or not, but it seems to me like the most sensible way to get D3 directly from the sun. But he says here, can you talk about D3 and K2 both together and why it's important to get this in a supplement or from food sources?
You know, you could look at fish oils too, because that's where the Eskimos got their vitamin D from, mm-hmm. a lot of the fatty fish. If you are lucky enough to live in an environment that has appropriate sunlight exposure, it's just half of the year, half of our planet or a third of our planet isn't getting it.
Right.
So supplementation is going to be ideal. Anytime you supplement in a pill form, we're missing certain things. And this is the weird thing, because we look at omega-3s or fish oil. Okay, now there's a lot of essential fatty acids in there beyond omega-3s. And there's a lot of different enzymes and digestive enzymes, metabolic enzymes. There's a lot of stuff in there. So when you synthesize it down into that one structure of vitamin D and then you put some fillers in there, you're not getting the whole straight vitamin D that your skin would produce by getting sunlight exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So sun lamps, you know, full spectrum lighting, all of that will help. Fish oil is going to be good. The reason you need the K2 and the D3 is that they work in conjunction together. And you can get K2 from, you know, dark green leafy vegetables, vitamin D3 from fish oils. There's a lot of things that you can get. But I think when you start synthesizing out that vitamin, you're losing some of the oomph. Like the only thing I've seen a study on vitamin C compared with an orange. And it was 1,000 milligram vitamin C tablet compared with an orange. And I think it was done in the New England Medical Journal in the 90s. Uh-huh. And they found out, damn it, that orange was way more potent than the 1,000 milligram vitamin C tablet. Wow. Because there's phytonutrients, bioflavonoids. It's Mother Nature's miracle. Mm-hmm. And remember, we're just monkeys beating a car with a Ferrari with sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's over 2,000 physiologic processes that vitamin D is involved in. That's why it's so important. Mm-hmm. in immune system responses. How it works in those responses, the technology that we have, we don't really know. We can say, oh, yeah, it's involved in the Krebs cycle. It's involved in this metabolic cycle. It's involved in this. But what draws it in? What causes it? What stimulates that cycle? You know, well, I don't know.
We don't know, do we? We just don't know.
No, yeah. You know, it's like a stem cell is really cool. It'll turn into whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah.
Why? We don't know. Yeah. What stimulates it? Unknown.
That's so funny. Anthony, if you're looking for a good one, a good product, you know, there's one from Daniel Vitalis. It's really good. It's a D3. It's actually a spray, I think. A D3 K2 that's combined together over at surthrival.com. And, that's the one I would recommend. Let's just take a couple more questions, Doc, because you have got a ton of filming to do for the Academy and a bunch of other work that you have to do. So let's just take two more. One here. Do you think the new Apple Watch 4 with the heart AFib alarm will help people with these conditions?
Gee, something on my wrist that lets me think about a negative condition. So every time I look at my wrist, I'm thinking about the negative condition, trying to manifest that negative condition.
Interesting.
No. I'd be looking at the red light. Oh, good. Yeah. I haven't had any yet today. No, not yet. Thank God. I'm fine. You know?
Man.
Again, that's symptom therapy. So look at the body. If you have AFib, you got to look at the nerves that supply the heart and then anything that's neurotoxic in the system that can interrupt that nerve supply to the heart, or any mechanical distortion that's going to interrupt that nerve supply to the heart. Your species has been on the planet for, some people say 100,000 years, some people say 200,000. There's some estimates that maybe it's been more than that. Okay, just know that your animal species doesn't have a problem with the heart. Okay, it functions correctly. So any interruption in the appropriate rate and rhythm of the heart has to do with an alteration of the normal function of the heart. So you don't need anything to monitor that you got it. Look at the underlying structure. So whether you have it or are not going to have it or had it in the past, if you fix the actual problem, it's not going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would not like is to be reminded that I'm wearing this to monitor it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing too, with those Apple Watches, I am not convinced those things are healthy in any way, because they're going to have metal on them, which means they're going to attract frequencies in the environment. You'll be looking at a blue screen. You'll be looking at it to be reinforced that something's wrong with you, which is what you were just saying. And the blue screen is going to be an issue. The radiation it itself produces is going to be an issue. And then all of that, combined with this idea that you have to look to some contraption to see whether or not something's wrong in your body, I would just opt for reprogramming your subconscious mind and telling your body all the time that you're getting healthier and healthier instead of looking at a device to tell you that you're not. You mm-hmm. know, just some thoughts there. final question from Amy Littlefire. This is great. Afternoon question for my mom. She's been getting divots or soft spots on her head, what is causing that, and how does one fix that? Her doctors have no clue. She's had a stroke, is atrial fibrillation. Also, both eyes have implants due to cataracts She has glaucoma and COPD, also has an injury on her right hand and wrist that has not healed. She is not open to having any adjustments, and she's 70. Oh, poor lady.
Oh, God.
Oh. Amy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. Too young to be going through this crap.
Right.
Okay, on a stroke, make sure you get her on cross crawl exercises. Okay, and that's going to be leg swinging with ankle weights and a positive stop. I mean, we've got, in fact, I got to remember to film that because we're filming exercises today, and I'm going to film that one for strokes. Okay, so that'll be on the Academy.
Right.
And the medications that she's taking may be causing this. Because with a stroke, she's going to be taking blood pressure drugs, which is kind of crazy because after a stroke, you want a higher blood pressure, not a lower blood pressure, because there's been tissue damage and the body wants to keep the blood perfusion in there. If she's taking the blood pressure, blood thinners, and blood cholesterol, the soft spots may be beginning what are called lipomas or fatty tissue deposits. And the fatty tissue deposits could be because she's in a stress state. You know, more than likely there's altered nerve supply or blood supply to those areas, and it's starting to form walling off excessive toxins. So she has to get her, you know, the physical, chemical, and emotional stress. She's got to get her nervous system checked by a corrective chiropractor. And just walk her through it and say, hey, look, you know, if we don't take, we take an x-ray. If there's no problem, fine. We've just ruled it out. Mm-hmm. Because we have to regenerate the neurons in the brain. Talk about neuroplasticity. We know the damage has been done to the brain, so how do we regenerate it? We regenerate it through stimulation. But if you have an altered structure, that sensory input into the brain is not going to be clear. You're not going to get the appropriate rebuilding aspect because you're not getting the appropriate stimulation. So look at her medications. Look at our high blood pressure video, our cholesterol video, our stroke video, and you'll start to see that a lot of medications that she may have been taking before the stroke might have contributed to it. If she wasn't taking medications before it, then a diet high in polyunsaturated fats, so people that take the almond milk with the almond butter, with the almond bread, with the almond flour, okay, that's a huge polyunsaturated fat influence, and that'll clump the red blood cells together in what are called rouleau coin formation. Or high stress will also, low stomach acid, that'll clump those red blood cells into a rouleau coin formation. So you look at the chemical or physical stressors that were causing that caused the stroke, and then that's what you work back from. So medications, stress, toxic blood, and then that's corrected by getting the structure at least looked at. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we have, you know, several people that oh, okay, I'm here. I know I have high blood pressure and anxiety and stress and bowel disorders, but I don't want you touching my neck.
Yeah.
And so I'll say, look, I don't want to touch your neck either. Let's take an x-ray, find out what's going on. And then when you see a problem, you walk them through, because that's a delusional fear. You know, it's like someone, you know, being afraid, oh, I've heard dark green vegetables are bad for you. They're loaded with vitamin K. Won't that clot my arteries?
Right, right.
And it's crazy delusional shit.
Yeah.
So you walk them through, and just like I walk my patients through, I say, look, this is normal. This is yours. Yours is not normal. We can fix it, and we don't fix it, you're not going to have appropriate brain function.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always say, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Amy, I hope that helps. I'm pulling for you with your mom. That's like Dr. B said, that's far too young to be having all of these issues. And I hope that she has the drive and will within her to look into alternatives. Right, Doc? Cause it does take a certain amount of, like, at that age, it's not old, but it's old enough for people to give up too.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yeah. Because when the cheery faced medical doctors that she's dealing with, you know, they're just going to be saying, oh, you know, anybody that's had one stroke is in line for another couple of strokes. And, you know, it probably runs in your family. You may have known some cousin that had a stroke too. So, you know, you're just a victim in this. And that will destroy your heart because, you know, we're in a real doctor's office. They're going to say, look, your body's smart. You're going to adapt to this. Your body can regenerate. There's neuroplasticity. And I guarantee you, not one of her doctors had said, look, let's regenerate the neurons in your brain by doing these exercises. Let's clean the blood. Let's get your body as healthy as possible, then we can reverse the damage. Everyone's heard of people that lost the ability to speak after a stroke, and they regain it. They lost certain other abilities to walk or anything else, and they regain it. And you can do that because there's a neuroplastic effect in the brain where you can regenerate neurons.
Interesting. With regards to strokes, we talked to a guy, I forget his name now. He's up in San Francisco, but he works a lot with strokes and hyperbaric oxygen chambers. And then there's a local guy here who in San Clemente, California, Dr. David Steinblock, who's sort of the world, you know, authority on stem cells. And he works a lot with, in fact, I think his website is called strokedoctor.com, which is, you know, he works a lot with hyperbaric oxygen, with stem cells, and, you know, had great success with strokes as well. So, you know, a lot can be done here, right, Doc?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just get her out of that victim mentality and tell her her body's smart. It's built by God. She's more energy than matter. I mean, if she's in her 70s, that means in the 60s, she was probably a, teenage rowdy one. So, you know, go after that hippie nature of her.
I love that. I love that. All right, guys. Well, I really apologize. You guys have so many more cool questions that we just can't get to today because Doctor has to actually go, doesn't have to, but he's going to go film some videos for the Academy that's coming out later this month with the, corrective, whole body corrective exercises, right, Doc?
Yep. We're going to show how to regenerate shoulder joints, hip joints, knee joints, carpal tunnel syndrome, restore the curve in the neck, and stabilize the pelvis, and exercise turn sitting into therapy.
This is really cool because I'm a big exercise guy. I like to work out in the gym. I like to do all kinds of outdoor physical activities. But when you work out in the gym, you get sort of the standard, you know, bench press, squats, deadlift. You get the standard exercises. So this will be really cool to see from a chiropractic perspective and a whole body restoration joint perspective, like what are some exercises we can do for these different areas of the body? So this is going to be really cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. All right, Doc. Well, thanks for your time, my friend. And I hope you get out on your boat soon.
Man, thanks. This has been really fun. Thanks everybody for joining us.
Yeah. All right, Doc.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Yeah, I apologize, but we can't get to all of the questions. So you know what I would recommend you guys do, if you can, go to the forums and tag me with your questions, because there's a lot that I could share as well from my experience as a radio show host. So if you tag me at Justin Selman in the forums, I should be able to give you some really good resources for lots of different things that you're talking about. So please utilize the forums if you can, because I can really share with you a lot of links and resources and things like that. So love you guys very, very much. Stay tuned for that that restoration course, exercise course from Dr. Bevan. That's going to be really cool. Love you very much. Thank you for your support and being here inside the Extreme Health Academy. Let us know if we can ever help or improve the Academy in any way possible. Love you very much, and I'll talk to you guys maybe next Sunday. We'll let you know via email. All right, guys. Thanks so much.